Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi, Bava Basra Daf Kuflamed Zayin. We are holding at the 11th line off the top of the Amud. So Rabban Shimon Ben Gamliel tells us yesterday that if a fellow granted his field, his assets, to a certain individual, it's yours, ve'acharecha, after which, meaning after your misa, your passing, it will be transferred to the next fellow. So first it goes to Reuven, and afterwards to Shimon. Says Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel, as long as it's in Reuven's possession, it's totally his. In fact, if he sells it, it's sold. The sale is valid, it holds up, despite the fact that really he's a bit going against, he's contravening the intention of the benefactor, who really wanted whatever was left over by Reuven to be passed on to Shimon. He wants Shimon to benefit from it as well. So he's going against his wishes, but at the end of the day, a sale is a sale. Amar Abaye, a zehu rasha arum. So who's considered a rasha arum? Who has earned this lofty title? A sly, wicked person. So he's basically getting involved and advising somebody to disenfranchise another person. And this is something which the advisor has no benefit from, no personal gain. That's why he's called a rasha. But he's arum, because he's utilizing the halachic, a system, halachic loophole, so to speak, to achieve his goal, to disenfranchise, to deprive Shimon of what should be coming to him. So who's this fellow? What's his modus operandi? What does he do? Ezehu rasha orum zehamesi eitz alimkar. He advises Reuven, you know what, before Shimon gets a chance to get you, sell it off. B'nechasim k'rav Shimon Gamliel. In line with the halacha of Rav Shimon Gamliel, that although it's not recommended, it's not really proper, but if he sells it, technically it's sold. Amar Rabbi Yechanan, however, halacha. So firstly, halacha Rav Shimon Gamliel, that's the halacha, that the first one is considered the full owner as long as it's under his possession, and if he sells it, it's done. However, even he would agree, even Rav Shimon Gamliel would agree in the following case, that the sale is not really effective. Shim Nosnan, if Reuven gave it to somebody, instead of a straight sale or a straight gift, he gave it b'matnas shchivmara, in the context of a gift given by a person who is deathly ill. So in this case, lo yosa klum, it doesn't really work. You know why? My time, why is that? Amar Abaye, says Abaye, let me explain to you. Matnas shchivmara, lo yikana, when does that gift take effect? When is it implemented? After the benefactor died. After Reuven dies, that's when the matana of shchimra kicks in. That's the takana. Chachamim empowered him to give away gifts in this manner. We want him to stay calm, free of anxiety, lest he get all worked up and perhaps bring about, a premature death. So the matana of shchimra takes effect after he dies. Elul Achamisa. Problem is, he was already preceded. This gift had been preceded Ukvar Kodmai Acharecha. The Acharecha fellow, the Shimon, who was supposed to get it from Reuven, jumps ahead of that. Why? Explains the Rashbam, because when the original owner set up this system, here, Reuven have it, and after you, give it to Shimon. After you're passing, it gets transferred to the next recipient. What he really meant to say was like this. Have it as long as you could use it, as long as you can have benefit from it, as long as you're alive. Prior to the process, Misa is a process, but prior to that process taking place. So as soon as he starts the process of dying, as soon as he starts the process of Misa, he loses rights to those assets. Now it gets transferred to Shimon. However, the gift that Reuven gave only takes place after he dies. But then it's too late. He no longer owns it. So in this case, all the Reuven attempted to sell, to give it away, Shimon will get it. rather than Reuven's recipient. Umi Amar Abaye Hachi, says the Gemara, is that so? That Abaye maintains that a matana of a shchimer only takes place after Misa? Afterwards? We have learned as follows. Matna shchimer mei masai kona. That's the question. When does a gift of Mishimara take place? When is it activated? Abaye Omar im gemar misa. Not after he dies, as he's dying, as he begins to die. V'rav Omar lacha gemar misa, after the misa is completed. But according to Abaye, it's not so. It happens before that. Which is a direct contradiction to what Abaye told us earlier. That the matana of a shchimra only takes place later. Hadarei Abaye Mahi, you're right. Abaye retracted what he said over there. The current opinion of Abaye is as per our Gemara, that matna shchimra gets delayed until after he died. Well, how do you know which statement he retracted from? We have two, you know, contradictory statements. Which one is the final word? How do you know that Abaye was chayzer? He retracted from the other statement. Perhaps he retracted from the statement in our Gemara that in fact he will hold that a matana of a shchimra takes place before the Misa is completed. Says the Gemara, you can't suggest that Abaye holds that anything associated with Misa happens before the Misa is done. That's not because we have a Mishnah in Gittin. Zagitech im mati. Zagitech michoy lizeh. Zagitech lachar Misa. Various forms of divorce where he stipulates, look, it's connected to my death. This get will be valid if I die. This get will be valid if I die from this sickness. This get will be applied after I die. So all these are Misa, death-related conditions. Loimar klom, it doesn't work because by the time comes time to activate the get, meaning after he died, well, he's no longer around to divorce, and you can't divorce after death. So clearly, anything associated with the Misa event takes place only after the Misa is concluded. So, in fact, it is probable that Abaye adopted that position, that anything related to Misa, including the Matana of the Shchimra, only takes place la'achar Misa, whereas the Acharecha Lepleini took place before Misa, as we explained, and therefore Acharecha, meaning Mr. Shimon, gets it. Amar Bezeira, Amar Beichnan, Halacha, how do we paskin? Kiram Shingam Leil, that the first recipient is really the true owner, and if he sells it, he deprived Shimon of this asset, because technically Reuven is the owner as long as he has it. Here's a chiddush. Even amongst these assets given by the owner, by the Neisen Matana to Reuven, which was intended afterwards for Shimon as well, even if they were avodim, non-Jewish slaves, and Reuven decided, you know what, I'm going to free them, which is not proper. He's going against the mitzvah. A slave is meant to stay that way, stay a lifetime slave. That's his destiny. That's right. That's the tafkid of Cham and his descendants. Right. They're supposed to be avodim, supported by their masters. That's their tafkid. So he went ahead and he freed it. Okay, done is done. Pshita. Well, obviously, if he's the owner, he can free it. Ma'od the tema. Perhaps I would say that. Matzi Amar Lei Lemi Avad Yisura Lo Yavinu Lecha, that the owner can tell Reuven, look, I didn't give it to you to use my assets to transgress, to violate an Isser. Right? Typically a person wants his belongings to be applied for higher purposes, for good things, not for Yisurim. So perhaps this is not what I had in mind. Kamashman the Chiddush says, no, he can't say that. The fact is, he gave it to him. It's no longer the owner's business. Rather, it is all Reuven's business. Once again, we adopt Rav Shimon Gamliel's Shita. That in the case where a person granted something to Reuven with the condition that it gets passed on to Shimon after Reuven died. But if Reuven turns around and sells it or destroys it, done is done. Va'afilo ason tachrich lemeis. Even if Reuven chose to use it as shrouds for a dead person, which makes it asur b'hanah, no longer permissible to use and to benefit from those items, the fact is he has the power to do so. Pshita, well, it goes without saying, why not? Mal the time wraps, I would think, l'shavinu, isurei hanah, to take my thing and to make it forbidden. Lo yahavi l'cha, I didn't give it to you for that purpose. Perhaps he can say that. Kamashmo, no. The point is he can't object. And once he places it in Reuven's care, under Reuven's control, it's up to him to do whatever he decides to do with it. Darash Rav Nachman Bar Avchista. What about an esrig? Esrig ze nosen nachab matana. Look, I'm giving you this nice esrig, kosher esrig. Acharech leplani. After your death, it's going to go to Shimon. So Reuven took it to shul, made the bracha, shook it for the mitzvah. Has he fulfilled his mitzvah? Bonu l'machlekes. This really depends on the machlekes between Rebbe, who says that Reuven is not going to be yaitzei the mitzvah this way because he only gave Reuven usage rights. Because according to Rebbe, Reuven is not a true owner, so he's not going to be yaitzei the mitzvah. So it's a machlekes in Rebbe, who says that Reuven is not yaitzei, but Rav Shmuel Gamliel, who says that Reuven is a full owner as long as he has it, and therefore he has a right to be yaitzei. It's considered his. It's in fulfillment of the pasuk ulakachtem lachem. Take your esrik, your lulav. It is. It's technically his. He owns it. Maskevla. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak got a kasha on this connection. Adkan lepligi, Rebbe, Rav Shimon, Ben Gamliel Hassam. This whole discussion between these two shittas is only over there. By a field, by a house. Ella demar sovar kinyan peres kikinna guftami. One shita says, well, if you have access to the usage and all that, it's a form of ownership on the actual item. Umar sovar kinyan peres, whereas Rebbe holds, he only got the peres, it's temporary use. Lav kikinna guftami, it's not considered true ownership. That's regarding a field or whatever. Ella hacha, but over here by the asterisk, that he gave to Reuven on condition that it be passed on to Shimon after Reuven's, Misa. How could you suggest that Reuven doesn't have a right to shake it for a mitzvah? I mean, if there's anything that you can do with an esrig, and any usage that's relevant to an esrig, it's shaking it for the mitzvah, right? Of course that's within his purview, within his control. Ella meipach l'nafik bey, if Reuven cannot be yetzei the mitzvah with it, l'ma yavin yalei, what was the purpose of giving it to him? Of course he could. Rashi explains, at this point, he's the true owner of the peiros. In this case, peiros just means usage. Tashmish. He's not a partner with Shimon. Shimon's not yet here on the scene. Yeah, if it's a partnership, then it's a problem because I'm not a full owner, but currently I'm the full owner of the usage. Ella says the Gemara, you're right. Meipach to kuli amuli pligid enafik be. Of course, Reuven can shake it and fulfill his mitzvah. Just machra. Ayach. The question is, he sold it, or he consumed it. Oh, now you're running into a problem. Does he have a right to do that or not? Does he have to compensate Shimon for the lost esrog? That's the machlokes. Bono the machlokes, Rebbe, who says that you have to compensate Shimon because you weren't really the owner of the actual item. You have no right to consume it, to destroy it. But Rabbi Shimon, Ben Gamliel, who disagrees. As long as Reuven is in possession, he's the true owner. And even if it destroys or consumes or sells, it's his business. Amar Rabba, Barafuna, furthermore on the topic of an esrig, Ha'achin Shekonu Esrig. Betvusa Sabayis, a father passed away, left behind an estate. The kids used that money to buy an esrig. We're only one. We have 10 kids here. So what happens if one son decided to use it to take it to shul? Natalei Echad Mehem, one of them grabbed the esrig, V'yatzabah, and he shook it for the mitzvah. Is it considered his or not? Are the other brothers makbid on him? Are they presumed to be objecting to what he did or not? So it depends. Im yachalo ichlo yatz. What's the determining factor? What's the yardstick? How do you determine whether he's an owner? Well, if he could eat it or not. if he has a right to eat it, and they're not really caring about it because maybe there are many esroigim, or maybe there's plenty of money to buy more on the street. So in this case, he's deemed the owner yatza, he can use it and be yatza the mitzvah. But if theoretically, if he would decide to eat it, it would have aroused objection, fire and brimstone. What do you mean, eating our esrig? So then he's not yatza, because it wasn't truly his. Again, because it says, lokachtem lochem, we learn, misha lochem, it must be yours. So even though it's partially his, because it's a joint estate, a joint account, doesn't matter, it's not enough. And Rashbam brings, even though we have by tzitzis and other places that partnership is considered ownership, because we have special psukim for that, to indicate that partner is sufficient to own it, but over here it has to be yours, completely yours, and it's not. Because they all have a part in this esrog. V'imlav l'yotz. V'daf k'dike esrog cholchad b'chad. And again, we're speaking that there's an esrog available for each son. Perhaps the father left behind an esrog tree, or there is enough money to buy, and you know the stores are stocked with esrog. Aval parish arim loy. But if there's no access to another esrog, all they can find is a parish, some sort of fruit or a pomegranate. Basically, it's just saying that if it's not a fair deal, then loy, he cannot use it, and he was not yetsi. Amar Rava. Furthermore, on this topic, esrog zeh nas nachav matana. Okay, he walks into the shul one morning, and he sees a fellow without an esrog. Okay, here, he offers him the esrog as a gift. It's the first day Yom Tov, and it has to be yours, right? Only on the first day it has to be yours. It's a full gift, but he wants it back. So he says, look, almanas shetachzireilu, on condition they return it to me. So as long as you have it, it's fully yours. But on condition they return it to me. Okay, does this work? Natalei v'yatzabai, so the recipient took it, shook it, was yaitze, yachziru yatza. So if he gave it back to the owner, he has fulfilled his condition, he's yaitze the mitzvah. But he failed to give it back, then retroactively, it's not really a gift. Because he never fulfilled his condition, it's not Yetze. The Chiddush of Rav is to teach us the Matana, Amanas L'Achzer, a gift on condition of return. Shma Matana is considered a legal gift, so as long as you have it, it's fully yours. It's not like, you know, just temporary usage rights. As long as you have it, it's fully yours. On condition, you give it back to me. You know, the Chazanish is an interesting Shiloh. Let's say you have 10 people lined up. They want to use this fellow's esrog, beautiful esrog. So you give it to Reuven on condition that you give it back to me. But he says basically you can give it to Shimon, and Shimon will give it to Levi, on and on. And then down the road, the fellow dropped it and invalidated the esrog, made it pasul. So never actually got back to Reuven as a full kosher esrog. The owner, I mean. So the question is Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yudah going to be Yaitse? So technically, they didn't give back to the owner. They passed it on to the next person. So you would say perhaps they haven't fulfilled, they've not fulfilled their condition of lahachser. Says the Chazanish, it appears to me, says the Chazanish, that really they are yaitzeh. Because when he was asked to pass it on to the next person in line, that is tantamount to having it returned to the owner. What's the difference if it's returned to the owner or given passed on to the next person in line with consent by instruction of the owner? That too, says the Chazanish, is deemed chazorah. It's as though he returned it. He has fulfilled his deal. He can walk home. He can disappear. He doesn't have to ensure that the last person down the road will give it back to the owner. So even if something happens, it becomes puzzle. Along the way, Reuven has still fulfilled his mitzvah. Interesting observation. Says the Gemara, Yitzhak said there was a story of this woman, the Havala Dikla. She owned this palm tree, Ba'ara, in the property of Rabbi Barabai. Okay, inside Rabbi's property, she had this palm tree, and whenever she went in there, she would trample over his plants. He wasn't too excited about it. Whenever she went in to pick some dates, have a company, so he wasn't very happy about her appearances. So what did she do? She figured, okay, why bother? So she says, you know what, I'm giving it to you as long as you live. And implied in that is that after you pass away, I want it back. So what did Rabbi Rabbaya do to circumvent this issue down the road? He says, you know what, let me give it away. As long as I'm alive, I'm the owner. Okay, so Azal Ius, he went along, gave it as a gift to his young boy. So hoping that this will sort of get her out of the way. And he passed away. Amar Rav Huna, Breda Yeshua, so that eventually when he passes away, it should stay in the family. So Amar Rav Huna, Yeshua, no, it's an ineffective solution. It's not going to work. You know why? Mishum da'asu mimuloi. So Rabbi Barabai, son of Abai, hailed from the family of Eli HaKoyin. And they got a curse there because of what they did in the time of. So they were going to die young. So he used this sort of reference. He says, Mishnah D'Asu Mimaloi, because you come from a family that's chopped off. Amrisu Milu Milyasu, he's saying things that are incorrect, that are chopped off, meaning what you're saying doesn't really hold water. Because Afilu, Rav Shimon Gamliel, even according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, that the first owner is considered the true owner, and he has legal right to sell and to give it away at will. Loika Amar, it's only true Elal Acher. That's only in a case where a person gives something to Reuven with the intent of having it passed on to Shimon after Reuven's death, and if Reuven turns around and sells it, done deal. But La'atzmoy, here she wanted it back herself. She personally wanted to retake possession of this palm tree after Rabbi's passes away. So here, she didn't really give it totally to him. She didn't give it away. Here, everybody would agree, even Shimon Gamliel would agree, that Rabbi, the initial recipient, is not a true owner. It's only temporary access that she allowed him, in which case he has no power to give it away to his son. Amar Rav, Amar Rav Nachman, here comes another case. Sharze nosn chamatan, here, take this ox as a gift. Al menas shetach sireli, but I want it back, on condition they return it to me. And what did the recipient do? He became very generous. Higdishai, he donated it to the Beis HaMikdash. V'yachzir, and then he returned to the owner in that state. So technically, the animal's back. But halachically, it's not really back because the owner can't really use it. So what is the halacha? Has he fulfilled his obligation to the original owner? Yep. Hareza mugdash or mukhsar. So on the one hand, the hegdish takes effect because, as we explained, even when it's a matana, a manas lahachsar, the recipient is a true owner as long as he has it. So the hegdish does get activated. Mukhsar. But now that he returned it, it's returned. He has fulfilled his obligation. Amalei rabzor of nachman. What do you mean? Maya hadre. What are you giving back? A useless animal. So he responded, what do you mean? What did he take away from him? Meaning, yeah, he gave him back the animal. And that's a fulfillment of his obligation. is going to strike a compromise. Chazinan, let's take a look at what he said, what the owner said initially. If he told him, here, take it on condition that you return it. That's it. Okay, ha-hadri. He returned him the animal. That's okay. However, he amarli amanasha tachzrei li. Or if he added the word li, I want it returned to me in a manner that I can benefit, that I can use it. The chazli ka'amarli, he meant, it has to be in a fashion, in a manner that I can use it. It's suitable for my purposes. In this case, it's hegdish. It doesn't work. Okay, so again, we have the halacha of a fellow giving a gift to Reuven. After Reuven's passing, it will go to Shimon. Shimon says, Reuven, as long as he has it as a full owner, if he sells it or whatever, it's a done deal. But the Gemara speaks about a matna shchivna, which only takes place after his passing. Then it's too late because Shimon got it first, because the transfer to Shimon takes place before Reuven's passing. As he stops, as the tchilas misa, when he stops having a need for it. We spoke about the esrig. You can be yaitz to the esrig. We had the halacha of the isha with the property there, and we concluded with the halacha of the shor that he was magdish. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. All the best to you, and hatzlacha rabba.